Well, good morning, church. It's great to be with you, at least in spirit, this morning. If you don't know me, I'm Jasmine. I'm currently in my second year of Bible college at Morling College, which is now online, but that's okay, still enjoying learning. And I have recently started an internship here at CBC, which has been an amazing opportunity so far. I have the privilege of bringing you this morning's Bible reading, which comes from 1 Kings 17, 1 to 14. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tish in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan. You would drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath, where when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land."
Well, allow me to add another welcome and another good morning. Great to have you with us as we lift up the name of Jesus. And now as we come to this space where we get to open up the Word of God together, I want to pray. Father, I thank you for this moment. I thank you that we can steady our heart and our mind under your word. And we pray you'd speak to us afresh. And that on this day, that we will get ourselves ready for what you have next for us as your people. Lord, we want to be that river of blessing to your world. We want to go in your name. And so, Lord, I pray that your spirit will burn within us afresh today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, on the 25th of October 1999, a twin-engined Learjet, it taxied down the runway in Orlando on its way to Dallas. But only a few hours into the flight, something was drastically wrong. In fact, the Learjet veered off course. And there was just deafening silence every time there was radio contact until there was no other option but to scramble the fighter jets. Five fighter jets scrambled to see what happened to this Learjet. Two of the F-16 jets got really close to the cockpit and they actually noticed that all the windows were frosted over. In fact, it became apparent that this plane was on autopilot. And for the next 1,400 miles and for the next 4 hours, nobody could make contact until this plane tragically crashed and all lost their lives. And the most famous person actually on that Learjet was pro golfer Payne Stewart. It's such a bizarre and tragic event. But suppose for a moment that you were actually standing on the ground and that Learjet went overhead. You may have noticed, you may not, but just say you noticed, you would not think anything was wrong. You'd look at that plane and it's just flying through the air. But something was desperately wrong on the inside of that plane, and it was headed for disaster. I find this an intriguing story because I think up to this pandemic, much of our lives have been lived at breakneck speed. Much of our lives have been lived something on autopilot. And when we look at each other, we seem just fine on the surface. But there's something, I think, shifting right now in our lives as we embrace this horrible time of lockdown. I am sure that right now, isolation and lockdown is beginning to reveal some of the dysfunction and crisis that had already been going on the inside of our souls long before this pandemic hit our shores. I think one of our most crying needs today is that we would give some thought to our habits. We would give some thought to our practices and future direction. Because like that Learjet, you could see that plane, it looked fine, but there was something drastically wrong on the inside of that plane. We can look at each other's lives and go, yeah, we're great. But I wonder, is it time to review our practices and habits? King Solomon says this proverb for us in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. But the folly of fools is deception. I think now is a time for us to do exactly what the wisdom of Proverbs says, to give thought to our ways. That's what we want to do. It's time to reassess our habits, our practices, what is happening on the inside of our soul. If you could actually plot the trajectory of your soul right now, where is your inner life headed? If your soul stays on the same path in 10 years' time, where will you end up? Once your career has finished, what will be left? Here is an important truth for us. Where you end up is largely determined by how well you manage what's going on the inside of your soul. I believe God has a word for us today, and that is this. God has an incredible adventure for us, but are you willing to listen to Him? And I think in order to listen to God, we need to assess our ways, our practices, our habits. And my heart's desire in this moment that we will have some space to do that, that God will be able to get your attention. We're in a series called Go, Incredible Adventures with God, and today we are looking at this topic, the adventure of going with it. I kind of feel that this title has been something of a chapter title for my life, the adventure of going with it, you know, from tradie carpenter to senior pastor. I remember in those early days of ministry when I launched out into youth ministry, I was 2 years into ministry, I'd finished my trade, I was still working a couple of days a week building and working as a youth coordinator, and the ministry was going exceptionally well. I had no idea what I was doing. I literally had this Bible, like this Bible, and a ute full of tools and no idea. But God was really blessing what we were doing. And I think I became, in my mind, a bit of a legend in my own lunchbox, as they say. I think I had to learn a lot more about humility. God had a lot more lessons for me to learn. But I remember I was praying down at Cronulla. I was about to go to Western Australia to speak. And I thought, wow, how good is this? I'm making it. And then God had a word. God challenged me to actually resign from my position as youth coordinator. And I sort of thought, no, I'm not doing that. I thought it was just my thinking. But then another word came. If you don't resign today, you're only pleasing man, you're not pleasing me. I was newly married. I was in the first year of my marriage. And I remember I drove from Cronulla back towards the office, the church I was at Guymere Baps. And I said to Michelle, I pulled her out of work and I said, God has spoken. I'm resigning today. I know this doesn't make sense, but God's calling us to college. My good wife just supported me and we just went with it. And as I started Bible college, I remember that first week when I got to Morling College. There were tradesmen there doing work. There were carpenters working on roofs. And I remember looking out the window thinking, what am I doing here? And really, we were doing a class on how to write essays on the Harvard model. And I had no idea what they were talking about. Absolutely no idea. I was so overwhelmed. I thought to myself, I can't write an essay. I'm good with my hands. What do I know about writing essays? I was so overwhelmed that I walked out in the middle of that class. I went back to my ute. I sat in my ute and I thought, I can't do this. I'm just going to go back to building. And it was a few moments where I just felt the presence of God. I felt a peace come upon me and I felt a word came upon me. I will be with you, Paul. And I hopped out of my ute. And I walked back into that lecture theatre and I started to learn how to write an essay and I haven't looked back. I really feel that when I stepped out of my ute that day, it was seriously an adventure of going with it. And I feel like that has been something of my story since that day, going with it. And I can honestly say that if you place yourself in a position where God can get your attention and we can reassess our habits and practices and we can align with what God wants you to do, because God has an adventure for you, and if we can place ourselves in a position where we're willing to go with it, it builds a vibrant faith and discipleship with Jesus Christ. And so to help assess our ways, and to reassess our habits and our thoughts and our practices, we need to turn to Scripture. We need to have a look at this incredible story in the book of 1 Kings where God does something really dramatic in Elijah's life. I need to give you some context. At this point, Israel are divided into two kingdoms. We've got the north and the south. For 19 consecutive kings, they did evil in the north in the sight of God. None more evil than Ahab. And so Ahab completely leads the people of God astray into idolatry. And in those moments, God's like, no, that's enough. That is absolutely enough. I am going to raise up a prophet that will call my people back into relationship with myself. So God raises up Elijah. He raises him up to go to the people of God and call the nation of Israel back. And there in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, we read this. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except by my word." Neither dew nor rain. So that's ultimately saying there is an economic shutdown, an economic shutdown for the people of God. Does that not read our context? They're farmers. It's now a drought. Now Ahab's sins are being judged by God. God's raised up Elijah, and now there is no rain. There is an economic shutdown. And you would expect that God would then send Elijah to square off with Ahab. But God doesn't do that. He does something utterly unique. This is what he says to Elijah. "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you.' Go to Kerith ravine." What God is ultimately saying to Elijah is this: you need to go into a place of isolation. You need to go into lockdown. Here's an image for you coming up next for us, an image of Kerith Ravine. Elijah goes into lockdown, into a place of isolation, into this ravine. I really do believe that this context today reads our context. There is an economic shutdown, and now Elijah is in a place of isolation. Elijah ultimately has been put into lockdown into Kerith Ravine. And it's here in lockdown that God is going to do something in Elijah's soul, where Elijah gets to reassess his practices, his habits, where God does a work on the inside. God is going to do something on the inside of Elijah's soul so that he can use him in a powerful way in the future. And I believe this is a strong word for us today. God is wanting to do something in our soul today in readiness for how he will continue to use us in the future. So I want to bring to us three really important lessons that Elijah learned in his isolation. When Elijah was in lockdown, when the economy was shut down, here are three lessons that Elijah learned that were critical in this adventure of going with it And so Elijah does. He goes into Kerith Ravine. And here are three lessons for us. The first lesson is this. It's the lesson of God's presence in isolation. I read that passage out for us, those verses, that he goes into Kerith Ravine, a place of isolation. The word Kerith actually means cut off. Cut off or cut down. In other words, God is cutting him off from the source. He's in a place of loneliness. And it's in this humbling space that Elijah learns dependence on God. Elijah learns to experience the presence of God when he's alone. God is humbling Elijah privately so he can use him publicly. God is doing a deep internal work into Elijah's heart and life. And I think that we too, metaphorically, right now, find ourselves in a place of Kerith Ravine, cut off. And it's in these spaces that we can really question God. It's normal to question God, where are you? How long is this going to go on for? Why are we back here again? And maybe you're feeling a little cut off. Maybe you're feeling a little crushed. Maybe you feel like you're limping along. Well, now is the perfect opportunity for God to do something deep in your heart, and that we could learn the lesson of experiencing the presence of God in our Kerith Ravine. Where is God in our Kerith Ravine? My friend, he's right alongside you right now. His presence is right there, and that is what Elijah was learning. There is a preparatory work going on in his life. God is teaching Elijah something that he couldn't do if he was just going at breakneck speed in Israel. And that is the same truth for us today. God is doing a greater work. For Elijah, he was in lockdown for months, alone, no one to talk to. And it's there that he learned the lesson of experiencing the presence of God in isolation. The second lesson that Elijah learns is the lesson of total dependence. Let's have a look at verses 4 to 6. You'll drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. So he did what the Lord had told him. So he went to Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan, and he stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Don't miss that it is a desert. It is a drought, and God has miraculously provided water to drink. And this heavenly catering service in the morning and in the evening, he got to experience the lesson of depending on God in a place of isolation where the economy was completely shut down because of the drought. An important lesson for us all to learn is the lesson of dependence on God. Maybe you're in that moment right now where something has been taken away from you. Maybe it's your savings. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's super. Maybe it's a shattered dream. Maybe it's a strained relationship. Something's been taken away from you. You're in that place of loneliness and isolation. And right now, the very things you could depend on, you can't depend on anymore. And maybe you're in a place like Elijah where all you can do is depend on God. And I want to encourage you that God is faithful and he will actually provide what you need. Jesus encourages us to pray for our daily bread. What I love about what Elijah learned is that God didn't give Elijah enough meat for a week or a month. God just gave him enough for that day. And Elijah had to learn that that was enough and sufficient and that he could trust God for tomorrow. And then God came good. And then he provided again tomorrow with more meat and more water. God is always sufficient for today and enough for tomorrow. Do you trust him? And in our Kerith Ravine right now, learning the lesson of total dependence is such an internal soul work that God needs us to go through in readiness for the adventure to come. And that's what Elijah's going to face. It makes no sense right now to Elijah. Why? Why is Elijah here? What is God doing? It makes no sense for Elijah when he's in Kerith Ravine. And that's the same for us. It makes little sense today. But just wait. Because God is orchestrating an amazing story. But we've got to be willing to listen and be ready to go. Because this is what Elijah experiences. And here's the third lesson for us. It's the lesson of unconditional obedience. This is the third lesson. Unconditional obedience. Let's have a look at verses 7 to 9. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once," don't miss that, "go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." Go at once. Here God does something a little confusing again. God dries up the brook. He dries up the brook. The water source is gone. Without water, it's a drought. You're in the desert. You don't have long to live without water. God dries up the brook. What is God doing? Elijah could be thinking, wow, have I sinned? Have I done something wrong? Does God not love me anymore? Why would he dry up the brook? Where is God in all of this? I've often heard the statement that God guides by what he provides. That's true. There's an element of truth to that. But here we see that God guides by what he does not provide. God dries up the brook. And it's in this moment that Elijah had to learn the lesson of unconditional obedience, because God dries up the brook in order to move Elijah out of a place of isolation and to embrace this adventure of going with it. If God didn't dry up the brook, maybe Elijah would have stayed there for a lot longer. It was comfortable. He had water, he had meat coming. Why would he need to move? But God knows that we can't stay learning if we stay in the same place forever. So God dries up the brook, confusing in the moment, but it's going to come and make sense in a few moments' time. Go at once, God says. And that requires unconditional obedience. I think it's in the adventure of going with it that all these lessons for Elijah starts to make sense. All these lessons begin to merge. Let me illustrate it this way. Growing up as a kid, I absolutely loved the movie Karate Kid. Truth be told, wanted to be Daniel-san. Might have practiced his moves in the backyard when I was a kid. And great movie, I loved it. I love that scene where Daniel-san goes to Mr. Miyagi, you know, that little guy that was in the Happy Days. And Mr. Miyagi is asked by Daniel, he says, "Can you teach me how to fight?" Mr. Miyagi says, "Sure, come over to my house." And Daniel-san comes over and he's expecting to learn how to do karate. But Mr. Miyagi says, "Daniel, go and paint my fence." So he does. And then the classic scene where Daniel-san goes and, well, he washes the car next, and it's starting to wash the car, and Mr. Miyagi comes and you know the scene. "No, no, not like that, Daniel. Wipe on, wax off." And then after that, he needs to scrub the floors. And as he's scrubbing the floors, Daniel, he cracks it. He says, "I thought you were trying to teach me how to fight." But then comes the moment where Daniel has his first fight and he throws his karate punch and he doesn't do it right, and Mr. Miyagi says, "No, Daniel, not like that. Paint the fence, wax the car, clean the floors." And all those lessons start to merge and they make sense in the moment. Well, for Elijah right now, it's like that Karate Kid moment is happening. The brook has dried up. He has learned some valuable lessons of the presence of God in isolation. He has learned how to depend on God. He has now embraced unconditional obedience as he embraces this adventure of going with it. And he goes to the widow of Zarephath. And there, all these lessons merge to make sense. Because he sees this widow, and he's starving, hungry at this point, and he just wants some food. And this widowed, remember, it's a drought, it's a famine. She only has enough for herself and her son. And then when Elijah needs something to eat, he's like, "You can make me something to eat." And then all of a sudden, all these lessons merge because he knows the power of God's provision because he's experienced it in Kerith Ravine. And so he says to this widowed, just if you make some bread, this flower pot, this oil jar, it'll never run dry, and it doesn't. Elijah has such bold, courageous faith. He goes with it because he knows and he has learnt valuable lessons in Kerith Ravine. And then something even more powerful happens. The widow's son dies. And it's in that moment that Elijah is called upon to actually do something profound, to possibly even heal this young boy. And we read in verses 19 and following in chapter 17 of 1 Kings, "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him in her arms and he carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and he laid on his bed. And then Elijah cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow? I'm staying with you by causing her son to die." And then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and he cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry and the boy's life returned to him and he lived. And Elijah picked up the child, carried him down from the room into the house. He gave this boy back to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." This is the first account in the Bible of resurrection. The son had died. And Elijah had learned in Kerith Ravine that God can do powerful things. Elijah's soul has been worked by the powerful word of God inside of him, and now he can pray a bold prayer. He can go with it into an opportunity to serve, believing that God can heal. And God did. I just don't think Elijah could have been used like that if he didn't go through a place of isolation and lockdown. But he allowed God to do a work deep inside his soul in readiness for this moment. This is the first resurrection account in the Bible. Great things can happen when we can embrace the adventure of going with it. It was certainly true for me that day in Morling College when I was just a whisker of driving away, sitting in my ute thinking, I can't write an essay. In fact, I wouldn't even know how to borrow a book from the library. I'm a tradie. But I got back out of my ute that day, and I embraced this adventure of going with it. And I can honestly say that have I been afraid? Most days. Have I wanted to give up? Countless times. But somehow, the power of God enables me to just keep embracing this adventure of going with it. And I know the same can be for us. But God's got to do a deep work in our lives as well. And we've got to invite him into these moments in our soul, these places where we've been on autopilot, these places where we've actually just cruised along. No, now is the time to assess our habits, our practices, our ways, and to allow God to teach us great things while we're in isolation, just like Elijah experienced in his isolation. He experienced great and important lessons that all merged. I want to leave you with this thought as well. This last moment that really jumped out at me. You see, the first introduction we got about Elijah is just basically where he's from. Now, Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe. That's basically just like saying Paul the carpenter from Engadine. We just know where he's from. But 23 verses later, we get a powerful insight about Elijah and whom he is from. Because this widowed who receives her son back alive says this about Elijah. "Then the woman said to him, 'Now I know that you are a man of God, and the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. You are a man of God.'" The only reason why Elijah could have that statement over his life is because he went through Kerith Ravine where God had to teach him some valuable lessons. And if we are going to be mighty men and women of God who actually speak the truth of God, then we need to allow God into our soul in this time of lockdown to experience valuable lessons preparing us for what is to come. Don't lose heart today. Don't be defeated. Look at this moment that we have today as an opportunity for God to teach us many, many lessons, changing the trajectory of our soul, reforming our habits, our practices, our thoughts. Let God in. Invite Him in. And I know that this will prepare us for more incredible adventures with God in the future. We want to give you a practical step. A practical step, a first step to embrace this adventure of going with it. And here is a practical step for us today. I want to encourage you today to go on a walk. Sometime today after our service this morning, everyone's going for walks on Sundays, so go for it after lunch. And I think this is a really important prayer. Maybe just pray this prayer. It's simple. Lord, I don't fully understand, but here I am, use me. We don't really understand what's happening right now. We don't really know where it's all going. But if you pray this prayer, here I am, use me. It's a dangerous prayer to pray, but an exciting prayer, because you are placing yourself in a position where you are saying to God, yep, I am willing to go with it, an adventure with you, God. Why don't you pray that prayer today? I would love to pray for us. Our Father, I just thank you for this moment that we've had to open up your word. It's incredible, Father, that 1 Kings 17 can read our context. Lord, I pray that you will be teaching us similar lessons like you did when Elijah was in lockdown, when he was in a place of isolation. Would you teach us, Lord, how to push and experience your presence? Would you teach us, Lord, dependence on you? And may we have rich testimonies of your provision. Father, would we learn unconditional obedience? Father, would you do a deep work in our soul? And Lord, as we reach out to you, we want to be willing to be used. We want to go with it. We want to go on an adventure with you. Father, I pray that as you have good things prepared for us, God, may you keep doing a deep work within. Teach us many things over this time that we would embrace the new adventure that you have for us in the coming months and years ahead. Lord, while we have breath, we know you can use us in very creative and powerful ways. Here we are, Lord. We don't fully understand, but here we are, Lord. Use us at CBC. In Jesus' name, amen.